All right, so on Lama Test, I'm going to outline seven lines from the bottom. We started a discussion. If an animal is missing something inside its body, for example, we said it's missing a kidney, we established that fine, as far as a mum to make it that you could be, that if it's a bechor, you could shecht it, if it's other kodshim, you could be hoidet, that for sure not, it needs to be an external mum. Question is, would such an animal be possible for a korban? So we brought two brises, one that said that the pasuk is shtei hakloyus, that you offer the two kidneys of an animal on the mizbeach, implying, since it mentions two, even though we know an animal usually has two, then it means it has to adapt to have two. If it has one or three, it's possible. And the other one says, no, that you have a different word, yisira, no, he shall remove it, which means even if it only has one kidney, then it's kosher.
Yisira can be plural.
Yisira is singular feminine. In context, okay, it means all of the facts, whatever, but still, the way the fact that it's phrased that way, yisirena, implying even if you only have one kidney, you only have to remove that and burn it on the mizbeach. If it was plural, it would be yisirein or yisirein, whatever.
Yisirena?
Yisirein with a langanon or yisirein with a shlosnem. Either way would be you should remove them. Yisirena means it or her. Okay, so we started by assuming for purposes of... So we assumed for purpose of argument that both Tanoim or both Braises agree in Bria Ba'achas, that you don't have an animal ever that to begin with is born with one kidney. So in other words, in both cases, we're talking about that the animal was born with two kidneys. So the animal was born with two kidneys and one was removed, and then you have the machlokas, whether that's good, whether that's still okay or not. So we see then that the machlokas would be whether chisarin mibifnim is chisarin or not. So that's where we're holding.
Fine, but if it was born with one kidney, hypothetically, you could offer it.
Then maybe both Braises would agree that you could offer it, yeah. Maybe. Amr of Chia Bayis, this is where we're holding, seven lines from the bottom. Amr of Chia Bayis, no, that's not necessarily the correct answer, the correct understanding of the two braises, as Rav Chiya bar Yosef. Bikula alma yesh bria ba'achas, we could say that both braises agree that an animal could be born with only one kidney. V'chisaron mirfnim shnei chisaron. And we could also say that both braises agree that if something is missing inside the animal, it is considered a chisaron, and therefore that it would be possible for a korban. Aye, then why is one braisa telling us it's okay? Well, like Asha, kan shenivra b'shtayim b'fosru. One braisa is talking about where it was originally created with two, was originally born with two, and then one was cut out. We're saying it's possible. Yesh chisaron mirfnim. Kan shenivra ba'achas me'ikra. And the second braisa would be talking about where to begin with it was born with only one kidney. So they both be agreeing that the braises are not necessarily arguing. They're the one braise is telling us different cases. The one's talking about where a kidney was removed, let's say surgically, and the other one where it was actually born with one. The question is, Bahadrumya the Sholish Katani, what do you mean though? The first braise mentions one and it also mentions three. It says that not if it has one kidney and not if it has three kidneys, which means there has to be a similarity between the two cases. Ma sholosh meikra, if it has three kidneys, obviously it was born with three kidneys. You didn't implant another one. Af achas meikra, the same way by analogy, when we say that there's one, the pasuk just means that it was born with one. So what do you mean that the first braisa is talking about where there were two and then one was cut out? No. So that doesn't work to explain the two braises. Ella, no. What we can say is there is, after all, an argument between the braises. We assumed at the beginning that both braises agree that an animal is never born with only one kidney. Now we can say maybe that's the actual subject of the machlokes between the braises. One braise holds that you could have an animal born with one kidney. Therefore, it's not considered chaser because it was born that way. And the other one would hold, the first price, it would hold, en bria ba'achas. There's no such thing ever as an animal born with one kidney. There's never one born with one kidney. So therefore, obviously, there must have been one to begin with. There must have been two to begin with, and now one is missing. Now Rashi brings that his Rebbe asks the question. In that case, we asked the question and that brought us to this answer. We said that what are you talking about? The first Vraisa mentions one and it mentions three. Doesn't that mean we're talking about the same case, where a similar case, where it was born with one versus where it was born with three? The Rashi said, the Gemara had asked, if we say the first Vraisa is talking about that it was born with two and then one was cut out, and we're saying, therefore, the first Vraisa would be saying it's possible, whereas the second Vraisa would be talking about a different case where it was only born with one. We said the problem with understanding the first Vraisa that way is it mentioned if it has one or if it has three, where if it's three, it was obviously born that way, so then shouldn't one also mean that it was born that way? Now, all of a sudden, we seem to be saying that the first Vraisa is saying, Ein Bria Ba'achas, that if we find it with one, it means that originally it had two and necessarily one was cut out, because according to the first Braisa, it's impossible for it to have been born with one. So Rashi says, is Rebbeim asked to say, wonder the same, then why does the Gemara ask the same thing? What do you mean? How are you talking about where the second one was cut out? How is it similar to the case where it has three? So Rashi says it's not such a big question. When we argued before, in the previous stage of the argument, when we argued that everybody holds yesh bria ba'achas, then we said, okay, if the first braisa agrees that you can have an animal born with one kidney, and it mentions one, and it mentions three, then the pashtus, both cases are talking about where it's born with one. Why would we assume the first braisa is talking about where it was born with two, and then one was cut out? Now, so we would say, okay, the first braisa holds that it's possible even if it was only created with one. Why? We don't know. Now that we're saying that this braisa anyway holds in bria ba'achas, then obviously, okay, we have no choice. We have to say in the first braisa, yes, it's mentioning one and it's mentioning three, but obviously those have to be two different scenarios now. One would mean that it had two and one was cut out, and three would mean that it was born with three.
It's not logical. If you say it was born with three, the second braisa, the second braisa, you should just say it can be born with one.
No, but that's the thing. Now we're saying that maybe the argument between the braisas is actually, is it possible for an animal to be born with one kidney? We would say now that the tana of the first braisa holds, that's impossible. Why is an animal with one kidney possible for a carbon? It can't have been born that way, according to him. Had it been born that way, maybe fine, it would be kosher. But like this, obviously it had two and then one was cut out. Three is also possible, okay, because three is possible. Nobody holds that three is kosher.
Why?
Because we have a concept called kol yeser kenotel, Dami. If you have something added in the body, we're going to talk about it later on. Also, if you have something extra in the body, then it's considered as though the equivalent thing is missing. We learned about it in colon, for example, where you have various organs that are various internal or external organs that are vital to the life and the health of the animal. That if they're doubled, we said if you have an extra one, we said the animal is possible. So if you have three, it's as if one is missing, and therefore you only have one. So one logic, we learned about this in Poland, one logic that the portion say is the body is made such that you have a certain amount of you have blood vessels, you have nerves and whatever that are supposed to maintain the particular organ. If you have them divided among more than one copy of that organ, it means the whole chayus of that particular organ, or those two organs where they were supposed to be one, is weakened. Anyway, there is such a svara, but it comes up in halacha and halachic traits. So here we would be saying that the first tana would hold that there's no such thing as an animal born with only one kidney. If you find an animal that has one kidney, it means that one was removed. That would be possible, because chitzoron mufnim. If you have three, it's also possible. Fine, three is congenital, but it would be possible on the grounds of kol yeser kenotel. Whereas the second braisa would be saying, no, it is perfectly possible for an animal to be born with one kidney. Therefore, when you find it with one kidney, it means it was born that way. Okay. No, we can talk about science of Gemara, but okay, again, I mentioned yesterday, the fact that you find animals born nowadays maybe with one kidney, okay, Nishanu Ativim is one possibility. Again, you have two braisas that are arguing over here. We're saying now that one possibility is they're arguing about the actual biological fact. Does it happen that an animal is born with one kidney? Or if we find an animal with one kidney, does it mean at one point it had two? And then one of them was cut out, or one of them decayed, or whatever it is exactly. Yeah,
they could be fused.
They could be fused. Yeah, not a bottom. Okay, then maybe we'd call them two. Maybe we'd call them one. I don't know. Anyway, So if we understand the braisa that way, then if we understand the two braisas that way, then we can say that both of them that both of them agree. That both of them agree chisaron rifim shnei chisaron. Both of them agree if you have there was a kidney there and then it was cut out or otherwise went missing, then the animal is possible for a carbon. The only argument would be if you find an animal with one kidney, does that mean necessarily there were two at one time and one is missing, therefore it's possible? Or could it be that it was born that way?
So the first
braisa would say that there's no such thing as it being born with one kidney. You find an animal with one kidney automatically as possible as a carbon, because we know that means one went missing at some point. And the second braisa would be saying that even if it has only one kidney, fine, it could have been born that way. All that is one way of explaining the braisa. Rabbi Yochanan has a different answer. The kol alma ein bria b'achas. We could still say that both braisas agree that an animal is never born with only one kidney, and therefore, if you find only one, it means that one is missing. The chisaron mevnim shmei chisaron. We can also say that both braisas agree that if something is missing inside the animal, it is considered a chisaron, and therefore the animal is possible for a carbon. Well, like Kasha, but it's still not a contradiction between the braises, because kan shechosru kodem shchita, kan shechosru la'achar shchita. Because the two braises, one is talking about where the one kidney went missing, was cut out, let's say, before the animal was shechted. The first braise would be telling us that animal was possible for a carbon. The second one would be talking about the animal was shechted, and then, in the process of cutting open the animal, one of the kidneys got lost. What do you mean, how is it possible? The same way as it's possible anytime. You're opening up an animal and skinning it and then dissecting it or whatever. You can drop the kidney and an animal runs off with it, or you could do whatever. So the question is, you're telling me that if you have something missing from an animal after it was shechted, but before the blood was received, are you telling me it's kosher as a carbon? No. Rav Zera tells us in the name of Rav, if somebody makes a notch, a nick, in the ear of a par, for a carbon, specifically Rashi says we're talking about, for example, the par of Kohen Mashiach after it was shechted, and later on, and then after he nicked the ear, which made a mum, he did Kabbalah Adam, you would think it's a mum after it's shechted, what's the problem? No, possible. The carbon is fossil. Shenema v'lokach midam hapor, because the pasuk says you should take from the blood of the par, hapor, implying hapor shahayakvar, the same par that was there before, so it has to still be complete. It has to still be intact at the time Kabbalah Adam. So what are you telling me that if a kidney goes missing after the shchita, the second braisa is telling us it's okay? No, okay, so we can say, fine, halakan shechosro kodem kabbalah, kan shechosro l'acha kabbalah. Fine, change it a little bit. Not that it went missing after the shchita before the kabbalah, but it went missing after kabbalah before the zrika. Same problem, though. L'acha kabbalah kodem zrika mishari. Would it be kosher as a korban if a piece of it went missing between the kabbalah and the zrika? V'hatanya, but we learn in another braisa. The pasuk says about the korban pesach, seh tomim zachar ben shana yilachem, it should be a sheep or a goat, that means both. Tomim, unblemished, zohar, a male, ben shana, within its first year, yilachem, it shall be for you, which means we learn from that, from the fact it says, yilachem, which means it shall be, means, shehe tomim, ben shana, b'shas shchita. So from here we learn that when you shecht it, first of all, okay, so when you shecht it, it has to be tomim, and it has to be ben shana, when you shecht it. Uminayin the Kabbalah v'halacha v'hazoya. How do we know the same thing is true when you catch the blood in the mizrach and when you walk it over to the mizbeach and when you sprinkle it? Technically, hazoya is what they did in Mitzrayim, where they put it on the two doorposts on the top and then the top lintel. What they do in the Beth Mikdash, but the Korban Pesach is actually shvicha or zrika. They throw the blood at the side of the mizbeach or they pour it onto the base. We learned about it in Zvachim and Machlokes about it. So, no, they don't do it with the hand. The only one you do with the hand is the chatas, and that you take your dip the clay and dip the finger and daubs it on the corners. Most other korbanos you do shtei matanos shtei arba. You take the basin itself and you do it like that. What about a Yom Kippur also? So those okay. So the seven hazoyas, you're right. He uses his finger and he does like this. You're right. Okay. Anyway. Fine. So how do we know that it still has to be Tomim, and how do we know that it still has to be complete, etc., at the time of Kabbalah and Halacha and Hazoya? Talmud Lema Yiyah. Therefore, the Pasuk says Yiyah, Miloshen Havaya, being, she or kol hava yosav, that all of the beings of it, all the things that are done with it, have to be when it is tamu ben shana. So you see, therefore, that if something is missing from it before the zrika, it's still no good. So what are you telling me that you have the two braises are implying one if it's missing before one of the four avodas, and the other one if it's missing after it? Doesn't work. The answer is tirgamo aben shana. Actually, no. You can explain the braisa is not telling us that it has to be tam at the time of all those avodas, just that it has to still be ben shana at the time of those avodas. So all the havayas, not that it has to be tam and ben shana, but just ben shana. In fact, it has to still be within a year old, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, that we go according to the hour when the animal was born. In other words, the point is, what we're saying is, because we thought that with the pasuk Yielachem, we thought it refers back to everything in that pasuk, Tomim, Zachar, Ben Shana. So, okay, Zachar, obviously, it's not going to change in between, but Tomim and Ben Shana could. Now we're saying that, no, Yielachem only refers back to Ben Shana, only refers back to the last thing mentioned before it. So the animal still has to be under Ben Shana before you do the last avodah. But it doesn't necessarily have to be Tom. As long as it's tum, when you do the Kabbalah, then we're good afterwards. And in fact, the Gemara says, so therefore that, again, so that can explain the two braises. So we have one braise telling us that the animal is possible for a korban if it's missing a kidney, meaning not only if it was missing while it was alive, but even if it was missing after it was shechted, before the Kabbalah. And the other one tells us if the kidneys were both still there at the time of Kabbalah, then it doesn't matter what happens afterwards during halacha and zuka. In fact, the Gemara says, Hachinami Mestabra. Yes, it's logical to understand the braisa that, the two braisas that way, and the last braisa that we just said, that when we said, Yiyu Kol Ava Yosef is only Ben Shana, not Tam. It doesn't have to be Tam at the time of the last Avodas. The Tanya, because we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yeshua, Kol Azvachim Shabbat Torah, Shemishtayim Ehem Kezayis Vosa, Oy Kezayis Kelev, any korban in the Torah, any korban that the Torah tells you to bring, where you have some of the meat or some of the chaylev got lost or tamei or what have you, but there was left over at least a kezayis of meat or a kezayis of chaylev, zerdik et adam, then you're allowed to sprinkle the blood of that korban, and the korban is kosher. If there's no meat or no chaylev left, then not. Therefore, shmamina. So therefore, that proves. So now, obviously, if you have, there's only a kezayis left out of the whole animal, obviously most of it is missing. Ein lacham mechutz gado mizeh, Rashi says. And yet we say that the korban is still kosher and you can sprinkle it. So therefore we see. So that's what we see. So when we said before Hatsurim Ozen Apur, that was before Kabbalah. But after Kabbalah, it doesn't matter. After Kabbalah, even if most of the animal, if most of the korban is gone and all you have left is a kezayis of meat or a kezayis of chaylev, then you're still okay and you can go ahead with the avodah of the korban. Well, it could be. Usually it would be, but it doesn't necessarily, I mean, in practice, I mean, right, you know, the Mizrach had the Mizrachis had rounded or pointed bases, so you couldn't put them down. All true, but nevertheless, it could happen. You could have, I mean, with the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, actually, you have that because, you know, some of them were shechted, and only later the blood is only supposed to be sprinkled after something else happens, so you have somebody sitting there stirring the blood. Meanwhile, conceivably, with other Korbanos, you could do that as well. It's not an absolute requirement that you do the Zrika right as soon as possible after the Shita. Practically speaking, it usually would, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
That's the actual
kafara. Yeah, the actual kafara, right. But you could also have, I mean, you could have that things happen very quickly. You shechted the animal right then after you shechted, you did Kabbalah Adam, right then before the Kohen even had the chance to go over with the blood towards the Mizbeach, all of a sudden a dead shed falls on the animal, and now the whole thing is coming. So, yeah, you know. Okay, fine. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the two braises before. Both of them agree that an animal is never born with only one kidney. Therefore, if we find it with only one kidney right after we shecht it, it means that a kidney was cut out or otherwise went missing while it was alive. So it's a b'chusar eiver, and it's possible. Both of them agree chisoron b'ufnim is possible. One is talking about where the kidney is missing before Kabbalah, and the other one where it's missing after Kabbalah. Where after Kabbalah, even if most of the meat or most of the chayla of the animal is missing, then you're still okay. Okay. So now the question is, you're saying then that it still has to be Ben Shana from when you shecht it till you sprinkle the blood. But what do you mean? Me committed to b'shas shchit to have it ben shana or b'shas kabbalah v'aloch have it ben shtei shana. How is that possible that you could have that conceivably that you could have a korban that was shechted while it was under a year old, and by the time you do the kabbalah and the zrika, it's over? No, because the gemara is assuming that the age of the animal goes that you start just like people's ages. A new day or a new year begins the night. The night before. So you know, person is born. Chodesh Nissen, when did they become Bar Mitzvah? The night of Rosh Chodesh Nissen, 13 years later. An animal, we're assuming the Pashtos would be the same thing. So how is it possible, given that you have to do all the Avodas within the same day, if you leave over the blood overnight, it becomes possible anyhow. So how could you have a situation where you have, when you shechted the animal, it was under a year old, and now by the time you do the Zrika, sometime later that same day, it's over a year old, by people, you would never have that. The answer is, Amar Rava, Zoyse Menas, Shoyes Poshos B'Kodshim. From here we see that with Kodshim it's different. You actually go according to the hour, to the time of day when the animal was born. So for example, Rashi says, not by Shvu. What? So therefore, you have to know. So therefore, Rashi says, if you have this particular animal, this particular sheep was born last year, Erev Pesach, 8 hours into the day, so 2 o'clock in between 2 and 3 in the afternoon, you have to be sure that the avodah with this animal the following year when you bring it the Korban Pesach is finished before 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Otherwise, before 2 o'clock, actually, once the hour between 2 and 3, the ninth hour of the day begins, then it's possible. So yeah, because then it's in its second year. So there you go. You could have that, and therefore the Braita is telling you that the Pasuk is telling you it can't be that way. It has to be Ben Shana Yilachem throughout all the Havayas, throughout all the Avodas. It has to still be under a year old. Okay. Fine. Okay, the Gemara says, Lema Katenari. Okay, going back to, we're still trying to figure out this question about Chisorin Mivisnim, if an animal is missing some internal organ. So we brought the two Braises. We discussed the various possibilities, how we can understand the two Braises. So fine, we have different ways of learning that we can say that the Braises agree that Chisorin Mivisnim is Shmei Chisorin, but we're not done yet. Lema Katenari. Should we say that this is actually a Machlok Katenari? Namely, like this. The Pasuk tells us in Parashas Emor, "Umoch v'chosus v'nosuk v'charus." These are 4 ways in which the genitals of an animal are damaged, where the Pasuk says you can't bring any of them as a korban. So Rashi over here and then in the Pesukim describes basically that moch means they're squashed, chosus means they're crushed. Rashi describes it over here like he crushed it with stones until it like liquefied. Nosuk means that it means that it's torn out by hand, but they're still in the scrotum. And karus would be that they're cut off with a knife, but they're still in the scrotum and still partially attached. In an earlier perek in Amos Efta, we learned in the fifth perek, we learned that nosuk is more detached than karus. We said over there, lahavi noisik ahakodas, that even if one person does karus and another person does noisik, both of them are chayev for the ister of sterilizing an animal, which is an ister lav. So those are the definitions. We learned over there, Rabbeinu Gershom learns a little bit different. He says, for example, that karus can mean that the actual pouches of the scrotum are cut off, but the testicles are still hanging there. Okay, whatever. What are these 4 terms, moch, kosus, nosuk, and karus, which of the general organs do they refer to? Kulam bebeitzim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says they all refer to the testicles. The question is, what do you mean? Let's finish. So the Gemara interjects. What do you mean, bebeitzim below the gid? What do you mean? It would only apply to the testicles. It wouldn't apply to the actual male organ. I mean, if they apply to the testicles, which are a little more concealed, how much more so they should apply to the gid, which is more exposed? Yeah, because the testicles are inside their pouch, inside the scrotum. The gid is exposed.
But the gid is usually retracted.
Well, that's true. In animals, we're going to talk about in the next Mishnah, you have a prepuce, you have a sheath of flesh that covers it, fine, but it can be extended out of there, whereas the testicles always stay in the scrotum. The answer is no. The Gemara says, Ema activates in Divya Rabbi Yehuda. You're right. You have to change the wording of the Braisa a little bit. Rabbi Yehuda says they also refer to the Beitzim. So according to him, any of these 4 terms can refer to, if one or another of these 4 things is done to the Beitzim or to the Gid. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Makulin Begid. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, any of these things, if they're done to the Beisim, does not matter, only to the Gid. Rabbi Yossi says it depends which ones. Moch b'kosos afkabetsim. The first two squashed or cut up refer also to the beitzim. Nostach b'koros v'gidein b'beitzim loy. The last two, nostach where it's pulled loose, so koros where it's cut, refer only to the gid, not the beitzim. My lav b'hokamifli. So shouldn't we have to say then that this is the underlying machlokas between the three tanoim? The mar sava chisorin mevsnim shmei chisorin. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds that a chisorin mevsnim is chisorin. Therefore, he says even if it's only the basim that were crushed or squashed or what have you, then already it's considered that it's possible as a korban, even though you can't see them from the out. They don't look. It doesn't look any different from the outside. Whereas Rabbi Lezman Yaakov would hold that not. Therefore, he says they only apply to the gid. So then it would be a machlokas tanoim, this question about if something internal to the body is missing. So the question is, kisbara, how can you think that way? If you're going to understand the machlokas that way, Rabbi Yossi might fulfill it. Fine, then okay, you've explained Rabbi Yehuda's and Rabbi Lezman Yaakov's opinion. How are you explaining Rabbi Yossi's opinion? And if he holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that even if something is missing internally, then it's considered a chisaron and the animal is fossil, then he would have to say the same thing even if the basim were pulled loose or cut or cut loose, because it's also a chisaron because they're not functional. And if he holds that it's not a chisaron, so if they're squashed or crushed, it's also a chisaron mufnim. So no matter what, Rabbi Yossi seems to be inconsistent. So obviously, therefore, the machlokas must be on a different point. No, they're not arguing about mumim shebifnim. They're arguing about, everybody would agree that it is, that a chisaron mifnim is shmei chisaron, Rashi says, that if something is missing on the inside, it is chisaron. Although son kodshim on the side of here brings a different gear say in Rashi, that everybody might agree it's not a chisaron. Yeah. Okay. But the reason would be, so the machlokas between these three tanoim is nothing to do with chisaron mevifnim. It's a question of, is this considered a mum shebagolui? Is this considered an externally visible mum? So it's like this. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, moch b'kosos having muma. The reason why if the beitzim are crushed or squashed or cut up or whatever, the reason why it's called a mum, why it's a mum, is because it is visible from the outside. Demikabka, because they shrivel. So therefore, it's noticeable from the outside that they're shriveled. And nosuk akaros have a muma, and the last two, or it's pulled loose or cut loose, then it's also a mum, which is visible from the outside, the hotalion, because now they're hanging lower. Now they're hanging loose. They're hanging lower than they would normally be expected to. Rabbi Lezman and Yaakov suffer, whereas Rabbi Lezman and Yaakov disagrees. He says none of those are a mum with the basin. Moch b'kosos they have a muma, because the me'ikra nami zimnan b'kalsan, because even if the basin are healthy, sometimes they can look shriveled from the outside. Actually, Rabbi Gershon points out also, you have, this is true with animals and also with human beings, depending on the temperature, they'll hang lower, they'll hang further away from the body or closer to the body. So when they're healthy, also sometimes you have nosuk for karis, they have a mumma. And similarly, he says nosuk and karis are not a mum when it comes to beitim. Dim ikr nami zim nedalian, because even when they're healthy, sometimes they hang more loosely. So therefore, no, but so according to him, it's not really so visible from the outside. Therefore, it's not considered a mum. Okay, again, we established before that a mum is only mum ra, only if it's something bad, only if it's something that disfigures the animal because it's visible from the outside. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says there's not really a great deal of difference, there's a great deal of visible difference between whether it's moch, kosos, nosuk, or karus, when one of these four things was done to the basim versus how they hang normally. Therefore, he doesn't consider it a mum. And Rabbi Yossi splits the difference. He says moch b'kosos have a mumma, the whole lesson, because in that case, once it's moch and kosos, they're actually not there anymore. So therefore, it is a chisaron. And we just said everybody would agree that chisaron b'vifnim is a chisaron.
So what did you do with moch?
So one second. So no, because since they're not there, they've been squashed or crushed. It is clearly visible from the outside that they're not. One second. So no, he would say, so Rashi has a chisaron habi, meaning, in other words, Rabbi Yossi would say the reason why you can't bring it as a korban is because it's chisaron. We just said chisaron with name shmei chisaron. We agree that if something is missing on the inside of the body, it is considered a chisaron. Not of course. I have a mum, where he says if they're pulled loose or if they're cut, then it's not considered a mum. Because after all, they're there. They're there in the kiss, in the scrotum. They're just not attached. So So that would be, so if we say the machlokas that way, then it comes out they're not arguing about chisaron mivufnim or not. They would all agree chisaron mivufnim is shmei chisaron, or according to Sun Kodshim Girsa, they would agree it's not chisaron. And the machlokas would be, do we consider that an externally visible mum or not? Lemaisa the Rambam paskins v'halacha that chisaron mivufnim is chisaron, that in makriven chosel mizbeach klal, and therefore yes, if it's missing a kidney or it's missing or it's missing the basim or whatever it is, anything that wouldn't be visible from the outside, then it is possible for a cousin. Okay. Continuing on the list of mumim, the Mishnah says nifgam hazoivon. If you have a defect, a piece cut away from the zoivon. So here is where we just mentioned, Rashi mentions that you have a nautic, you have a case. Rashi says, Shakis Chavri Boy, that's a kiss, meaning the scrotum is hidden in it, but Sun Kodshim changes that. It's not the kiss, but rather the gid, the male organ of the animal is hidden inside this flesh that hangs underneath it. In English it's called the prepuce. It's vaguely similar to the urla on a person, although the urla only covers the head, and then by an animal it covers the whole thing.
Prepuce.
Yeah. Okay. So if that has a pagam in it, if that has that some part of it is missing, or when it comes to other animals of kodshim, which can be female, her obviously is not a female, if there's a pagam in the area, in the female genitals of other kodshim, then it's also a mum. Another one, nifka mazonov. Another one is if you have a defect in the tail, so part of the tail is missing. Mina esem avaloy mina perek. Now that would specifically be if one of the bones of the tail is missing a piece, so a piece cracked off it or whatever. Not if there's something missing in the spaces between one vertebra and neck and the next, between one bone and the next and the tail, because that could have ended like the disc between them, because that'll eventually heal. So therefore, it's not a mum kavur. Oish roish zonav mefasel, or another case which would be considered a mum, is if the tip of the tail is mefasel. The next few words that we have over here, nikfa or ba'bosav esem nisher, actually comes from Rashi, which the copyist accidentally put into the Gemara over here. You have that in a few places. So Rashi's understanding of mefasel, he says you have a pasuk by Yaakov where it describes what he did with the sticks over there when he with love and sheet by fasel behind solus lebonis, peeling. So Rashi understands it means the same thing over here. It means that the tip of the tail, like this, normally the tip is covered with skin and muscle. Instead, you have that is peeled off, and you have the bone on the end is exposed. That's how Rashi is. Tosfos says that doesn't really work. In Tanakh Loshen, yeah, the Shoresh Pei Tzadik Lamed means to peel. In Gemara Loshen, that same Shoresh means to split, to branch. So therefore, Tosfos says, now what it means is, if the end of the tail branches into two, normally, of course, you have the tail is going to be one solid thing from beginning to end. So like this, you have that some kind of inborn thing where it was born with a split tail. But I'm almost that way.
That would be a mum.
Another thing that would be a mum is if you have an etzba's width of flesh, discs, or whatever, between one bone and the next and the tail. Usually the bones are fairly close together. You have the little discs and whatever between them, but it's usually very thin. So if you have the thickness of a full espa, then that's considered a mum. Okay. Yes, of course. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Elazar, when we say in the first part of the Mishnah, Nifgam Hazoivon, then both of those terms are very precise. Nifgam again means that there's a gam, there's a knot or defect or whatever in it, some part of it is missing. Meaning v'loy nital, but not if the whole thing was removed. Because if the whole prepuce is removed, it will heal again. And kis v'loy zachrus, and when we say that this zoivon, the prepuce, only if there's a problem with that, the loy zachrus, but not if there's a pagam in the actual male organ itself, that will also heal. That will also heal, therefore it's not a mum kavur. So in other words, Rabbi Elazar is telling us, specifically it's only if nifgam zoivon, not if the whole zoivon is missing, and not if the gid is nifgam. Neither of those would be a mum kavur. Tanya Hochi. In fact, we learn like that in the Braisa. Nifkam v'lenito, kis v'lezachrus. Amr Rav Yossi ben Amasholom. In fact, Rav Yossi ben Amasholom says, I'll prove to you that if the whole thing is removed, it's able to grow back. Maisa b'inbol echad. It happened in Inbol, is the name of a place. Echad, or Be'echad, actually, changes it to, that it happened once with a certain animal, Shenotloi Zev, that a wolf ripped off the entire Zovon, V'chodolei Sonei, and it healed, and then went back to normal. So we see that the whole Zovon can heal back, can grow back. Now, this brings Tosfos to ask, previously on Lamed Ches on the days, we discussed briefly over there the question, is it considered a mum kavua if medical treatment can cure it? So now Tosfos says this is one of the things over here. We're saying over here that if you have a pagam in it, then it won't heal, but if the whole thing is missing, it will heal. Wouldn't the pashtus then, that would mean that if you have a pagam in it, you're able to give it medical treatment, remove the whole rest of the zoivon, and eventually it'll grow back. And yet we're saying that if it has a pagam, it's considered a mum kavua. So wouldn't that show then that even if it'll grow back, even if it'll heal with medical intervention, it's still considered a mum? So Tosfos says maybe, but on the other hand, you could argue that maybe if it was first nifgam, then removing it will not help. It's still not going to grow back fully. Only if it was removed, when there was no pagam in it, then, as we're saying over there, like here with the wolf, then it'll grow back completely. So there's no solid proof from this one way or the other, whether if it'll heal with medical treatment, whether it's considered a mum kavua or not. So it depends, in other words, that Tosfos says. One possibility is that maybe if there's a pagam in it and then you remove it, that still won't help. But if you remove the whole thing to begin with, then it will grow back. Or maybe the other possibility is that. So when it's healthy and you take it off, it will grow out. But if you have a pagam in it first, then maybe even removing it is not going to help. So then if that's the case, then we don't have a proof one way or the other, because in that case, it's not a mum that can be healed by medical intervention. Fine. Okay, so the Gemara continues. We said in the Mishnah, Nifgam Azonov Mina Esim Chola. We had if there's a pagam in the bones of the bones of the tail, etc. And the last thing we mentioned in the Mishnah is if you have at least an espa space between one bone and the next in the tail, where again they're supposed to be fairly close together, and like this you have an espa's width between them. So Tana, we learn in a Braisa without, and the Braisa doesn't specify what it's referring to. Espa sha'omru echad ma'abav tefach shokol adam. When the Chachamim talk about an etzba, they mean one-fourth of the average person's tefach. Meaning, if you have a tefach is a hand width, a hand breadth, now, but you have different size fingers on it. So what we're saying is the definition of an etzba is one-quarter of a full tefach, which means it'll be a little bit, which means it'll be the width, so the thickness of the thumb, not of the other fingers. But the other fingers are narrower.
Do we correlate with any height on that person?
No, we say shokol adam of the average person. So
like
the average person is maybe
much bigger, much smaller.
Okay, so actually, you know, I mean, that this is why you know that the poskim have the poskim achronim have two major opinions about the size of the esba and the tefach and the amma and so on and so forth. You have a high nos shitta and you have the chazanishis shitta. So one of the many sources of the argument is, yeah, what size person do we measure with? So the famous thing, Noda Behuda, the Noda Behuda, who lived 200 odd years ago, 300 years ago or so, he one time did an experiment. You have the Rambam gives us a shir challah in two different forms, one in terms of egg volumes, the famous Mem Gimel Beitza B'Chomish Beitza, 43 and one-fifth egg volumes. The other one is using etzbois, that Rambam calculates that it's about 311 cubic etzbois. So the Noda Behuda did an experiment one time. He measured the volume of 43 and one-fifth eggs. Then he made a keli. Then he measured out a keli using 311 cubic etzbois, and he found it's almost twice as big. So that led him to say the famous idea that the eggs that we have nowadays are smaller than the ones that we have in the times of the Gemara. So the etzbois, in other words, he assumed remained the same size, and the eggs got smaller. And this is the this is one of the bases for the chazanish shita. Therefore, that we have to calculate an espa and a tefach and a tebesa and a kezayis and everything much larger than we otherwise would. So, so for example, you know, you have when we eat matzah on Pesach, you know, that ideally we eat a kezias of 1 ounce, which is the maximum that which is the maximum that it could be according to any of the shittas. And then you have fine, you know, when it comes to, let's say, kodach, which is only derabanan, and then you can be makel and use a smaller size. So one of the counter arguments was actually one of the counter arguments that I think Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah brings it, but I don't remember, somebody else definitely brings it, is the Nodi Yehuda was a much taller person than average, so of course his thumbs were much wider than average, and you can't necessarily show that that's not necessarily shokol adam. Okay, anyway, so we're saying therefore that an espa, the definition of an espa is 1/4 of a kelach. So the Maizer, now the Braisa didn't specify for what purpose in halacha it's mentioning this particular size of an espa. So as far as what halacha was this Braisa said, Amar Rabba le'inyim tcheilas. The Rabba says it's as far as the dinim of tcheilas, meaning tzitzis. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, we learn this in Menachos, kama chutin who knows. Then first of all, how many strings do you put on each corner of the garment? But shama omim abba or v'silla omim shlosha. But shama says you put 4 and then you double them over, so you have 8. V'silla says you put 3 and double them over and make 6. This is one of the few cases in Shas where the halacha is like the shama. Because we know, every all of us, we're tzitzis, and we wear 8 strings, not 6. Then we continue, the Braisa continues, for kama kehei mishuleshes, how far should it be mishuleshes, or mishulsheles, which means hanging down. So Rashi has two explanations of what it means. One is that we know, we lived in Menachos, and we know nowadays, and we look at our own tzitzis, you don't put the strings right at the edge of the garment, there are a couple of us boys in. So according to Rashi's first explanation, the question is, we're going to now have the machlokes, what's the maximum distance from the edge that you can have the string, that you can have the holes for the string? Beshama imim abar, beshila mishlosha, beshama says 4 etzbois, and beshila says 3 etzbois, beshila mishlosha shlish, beshila says 3 1/3.
That you can have the holes.
That you can have the holes. This is Rashi's first explanation. So here the halacha would be like this silo, because the maximum you can have is three esbois. Because the silo says that we measure according to esbois, which are 1/4 of the average person's tefach. So we see, therefore, so this braisa that defines an esba in terms of a tefach would be in reference to this din of tzitzis. Rashi's second explanation is that we're talking about when we say kamatamish or shelas, means we know that tzitzis, you have the part with the windings and the knots, and then you have the part that hangs loose. So how long should the part with the windings and the knots be? And the answer is, according to Beis Shammai, 4 esbois, and according to Beis Hillel, 3.
So one explanation is
we're talking how far from the edge from the corner can the strings be, and the halacha is like this little math that is the maximum of 3 esbois. And according to the other explanation, the question is how the length of the knotted part besides for that part that hangs loose. So now the halacha is also according to that second way of understanding, the halacha is like the shamay in that also. So therefore, that part should be 4 esbois, and then the part that's hanging loose should be twice that, 8 esbois, so you wind up with a total of 12 esbois length for the tzitzis.
Yeah,
so that you should always have no tzitzis is that you should have that the onus, that the strings that hang loose, should be twice the length of the gdil. So if you have a gdil of 7 esbois, if you have a gdil of 7, then you should have an onus of 14, yeah. Sometimes you have people who were longer tzitzis. You have the famous thing, Ben Tzitzis Akesis, one of the 3 rich people in Yerushalayim, from the story of the Churban over there, that his tzitzis would drag on the floor. Yeah.
What if the strings have to be a piece of paper?
If you put in strings of the proper length, and later on, one of the strings breaks, then you have the string can be a lesser amount. It can be a tefach and still be kosher. But we're talking about when you first make the tzitzis, you should have that the knotted and wound part is 1/3 of the whole length is 4 esbois, and the rest of it is another 8 esbois.
So it's a half of the non-knotted.
Right. So it's 1/3 of the total. Okay, so all of that is one possibility. What this braisa means when it's defining an espa is as far as the genim of tzitzis. Rav Huna Bered Yevishua, on the Shtei Amos, Rav Huna Bered Yevishua says that this braisa, which defines an espa as 1/4 of a tefach, is in reference to the 2 amos. Ditznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Kalim. Shtei Amos Hoye B'Shushan Abira, there were 2 amma measurements, 2 sticks, an amma long, in Shushan Abira, and Shushan Abira over here means the eastern gate of the Har HaBayis. It was called Shushan Abira. It was called Shar Shushan because they had a picture of Shushan Abira on it. For reasons that the Gemara mentions, and we learned about this in Menachos, two reasons. A picture of a city. Of course, you're allowed to have a picture. But two reasons for it. One is that the Jewish people should remember where they came from and be grateful to Hashem for taking them out of that Golos and allowing them to rebuild the second Beis Hamikdash. And the other reason is that the Persian king made him put it over there so they should remember that they're to be loyal to the Persians and not rebel against them. Whatever it was, they had this picture of Shushan over there, and therefore the gate was called Shar Shushan.
So it was
in the east. It was on the east side of the Har HaBayis. Some people if you look nowadays at the Har HaBayis, you can see there's two bricked up gates on the east. Most of the east wall is open because you don't have the city of Yerushalayim isn't built up on that side. It drops down to Nachal Kidron. So you can see, if you look in pictures from the east side of the Har HaBayis, you can see two big gates that are blocked up with bricks. Some people think those might be Shar Shushan. It seems more likely that Shar Shushan is further south along that east wall, whatever. Anyway, the point is, there was the Shar Shushan, and above it, Rashi describes there was a chamber built in above it, which is the Shushan Abira that we're talking about over here. So there were two measuring sticks over there. Achas HaKeren Mizrachis Tzfonis. One was kept in the northeast corner. Achas HaKeren Mizrachis Dremis. The other one was kept in the southeast corner. And why? Now, they had two sticks. Sha'akeren Mizrachis Tzfonis Tosi Yisera Al Shamosha Chatsi Espa. The one in the northeast corner was a half an espa longer than the Amma of Moshe, meaning not the Amma, not Moshe's own body. Moshe himself was 10 Ammas tall, but the Amma that Moshe used to build the Mishkan, the standard size Amma of Moshe's time, this first measuring stick was a half espa longer than that, for reasons that we're going to say in a second. The Sha'akeren Mizrachis Dremis, the one in the southwestern corner, Tosi Yisera Al Chatsi Espa, southeastern corner, rather, was another half espa longer than that first one. Nimti Sisera al Shamosha espa, meaning that it's a full espa wide longer than Moshe's Amma. The Lama Hoyu Achas Dolav Achas Tana. So why did they have a big one and a small one? Meaning Rashi and Sochim, where you have the Sugya and Sochim explains. The question isn't why they had the half espa and the one espa one. Those the Mishnah is going to explain in a minute why they had those two. The question is why they didn't just use the standard size Amma of Moshe's times. Why did they have to have these longer measuring sticks? The reason is Shahoyu Umnin Noitman Bakana Umachzirin Bigdola. When you have craftsmen are doing work under contract to the Beis Mikdash, the job would be given to them measured out in regular amos, Umachzirin Bigdola, or the raw material would be given to them in terms of regular amos, Umachzirin Bigdola, and then when they deliver the finished product, it's using one of these bigger measuring sizes. Today Shaloya Bayu, the day Me'ila, this way they don't end up accidentally doing Me'ila. Because if they were to do the exact size that they were given, they were told to build something, let's say an amma long, and they give you something exactly an amma long, it might accidentally be a little bit under an amma because it's difficult to make sure that you get, and then you're going to have a problem with Mila. So therefore, they would deliver something that's an amma plus a half an espa, or plus an espa to be on the safe side, basically. No, but the point is that you were given materials, or you were paid for a table, let's say that's an amma long, and if you give them a table that's slightly under an amma long, then it means that you've committed me'ila because you haven't yet. Tauti Lomali, and now then the next question is, okay, so that explains why they needed longer ones. Why do they have two different ones, one that's a half espa longer and one that's an espa longer? The reason is chodah de kaspa b'zav of a chodah de binyana. One was used for work in gold and silver. So for that one, they would be expected to deliver with the one that's a half espa longer. So they're told, let's say, for example, they contract with them, let's say, make a golden table for the Mizbeach an amma long. So they're supposed to deliver a table that's an amma plus a half an espa. You don't want to make them do a full espa because, I mean, gold and silver is expensive. It's expensive material. It's a lot of hard work to do it exactly. So therefore, they only made them give a half espa more. The binyana, and the other one was for building. When you're building walls, let's say, then they would tell them, we want you to build a wall, let's say 10 amas long over here, and they would be expected to deliver it 10 amas plus 10 plus 10 esbos. Okay, so then, so chodah de kaspa b'zava, one for gold and silver, chodah de binyana, and the other one, the larger one, that was an espa longer, was used for the building. Okay, so then that's another possibility, what this braisa, when it says an espa, you should know an espa is one quarter of a tefach, that would be the relevance of it. So now we understand, we're talking about these two measuring sticks that they had in the mikdash, how much longer were they than a standard amma? A third
problem with the amma was different, because they added
to... Right, they added to prevent meila, exactly. Okay. Rav Nachman Yitzchak became Rav Huna bar Nosson. A third answer, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, or some say Rav Huna bar Nosson, said that the relevance of the braisa about the espa is la'osa shininu, is as far as what we learned in our Mishnah. Sheyesh basa ben choyo l'choyo malay espa. If you have an espa's ribs of flesh between one vertebra of the tail and next and the mom, so we need to know how big an espa is, and therefore the braisa tells us an espa is one quarter of a tefach.
Where we talk about two kinds of espa.
We said the braisa had said that we have two different measuring sticks, one which is a half espa longer than an amma, and one which is an espa longer than an amma. So we need to know how much is half an espa and how much is an espa. The braisa, it's not a braisa, actually a mishnah. It's not shtei amma tovi v'shusha. Not a braisa, sorry, it's a mishnah in Tehillim. Says that one was an espa longer, well, that one was a half espa longer than the standard one, and the other one was a half espa longer than that, meaning a full espa longer than the standard.
Together.
No, in other words, a standard amma is 24 esbos. So the first stick was 24 and a half esbos, and the second one was 25 esbos. So there's an extra difference between a standard amma and the second measuring stick. Right. Okay. Next, Mishnah says.
This was because?
Because we just said, because they needed to contract with builders and with people, with craftsmen who are making or building things for the Beis Mikdash, and they wanted to avoid Mi'ilah, so therefore they built in the safety factor.
So they should have still been the same size.
No, that's the point, because for building, you can be more flexible. Because for building, it doesn't cost a lot more to add one extra espa to a building, whereas when you're doing work in gold and silver, adding a half espa is quite costly. Adding a full espa, I mean, would be quite costly. Adding a half espa is not quite so. Okay. Fine. Mishnah says, next case of women, ein loy beitzim, if the animal has no testicles, oy ein la ela beitzacha, so if it only has one testicle, then that's considered a mum. As the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, if even one is a mum, of course zero is a mum, why is it upset? Okay, we'll get to that. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, im yesh loy shnei kisin, yesh loy beitzim, Rabbi Shmuel says like this, if you look at the kiss, if you look at the scrotum, you can see there's like a line, there's like a notch, like a line running down the middle of it, which divides it internally into two pouches. So Rabbi Yishmael says, if it has two pouches within the scrotum, yesh le beis beisim, automatically you know the animal has two beisim, and therefore it's not a mum. Ein le shnei kissin, but only if you see that it doesn't have two pouches, ein le ela beisa achas, then you know it only has one beisa, and then it's a mum. Rabbi Akiva, you know? What Rabbi Akiva says, if you see only one beta, what you do is moshivay al akuzay. You make the animal sit on its rump, on its backside, umemayich, and you start squeezing and palpating around in that area. Im yesh beta soifer lotus, and if there's a beta somewhere there, it's going to eventually come out. Well, ma'isa shemiach v'loyot. So one time it happened, they did that. It squeezed all around there. Nothing came out. Nishchata, so they figured, okay, it's balmum, and they shechted the b'chur. V'nimtza dvuka b'ksolin. And then they found that missing beta was stuck to the flank, to the inside of the body wall of the animal. Which, by the way, I mean, when a human male or an animal male is formed in the womb, originally the basim are actually within the body, and then they descend. Then they descend into the scrotum you actually have over there. That's why that's one place where a person can get a hernia, because you have a wall over there that separates it. But that wall can have holes in it for the basin to have descended. And sometimes there are weaknesses in it, and therefore a person gets a hernia and they need to have it stitched up. Yes, or whatever. So here, what happened was that you had one base that had never descended; it remained within the body. So what happened? The hitir of Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said it's kosher. You can eat this b'chur. It is a mum because that base is not where it belongs. But also Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, said it's also because after all it does have two bases, and the fact that one of them is out of place, he says, doesn't matter. Wait, we'll get to the halacha after we learn the Gemara. In other words, it was considered a tam, it wasn't a bal mum, therefore it's going to be also bahana. So the Gemara starts off. Hash to ein le'el a beis. Well, it means it should have been, right? I mean, they didn't know, so okay, the guy wasn't over on Issachar because he didn't know, but nevertheless. Okay, so Gemara starts. Hashta ein le'ela beitza achas amrit having mum. Now you're saying that even if it only has one beitza, then it's considered a mum. Ein like klal m'boya. So if it has no beitza, then how much more so? Why does the Mishnah even need to bother mentioning it? The answer is chasuri meser. The Mishnah is missing words. V'hachi katan. What it means is like this. Ein le'shtei beitza b'shtei kisin. Normally you should have each beitza in its own kis, in its own pouch within the scrotum. So if it doesn't have two basin in the two kisim, in the two pouches, el of the kisachod, but rather it does have two basin, but they're both in one pouch, e nami shtei kisim or beta achas, or if it has two pouches but only one beta, either way, hareza mum, the Tanakama will say that's considered a mum. It has to be the only way for it to be not a mum is two basin, each one in its own pouch. Rabbi Shmuel, then Rabbi Shmuel disagrees and says, Yeshle Beis Kisim, if you have two Kisim, be a Duash Yeshle Beis Beisim, automatically it means it has two Beisim, therefore it means that it's not a Balmum. Amy, Ela Kis Echad, but if it only has one Kis, if it only has one pouch, Kimisha Ela Ela Beisa Achas Domi, then it says if it only has one Beisa, and therefore it would be considered a Mum. But also Rabbi Akiva Lameimar, then Rabbi Akiva comes to say, Biadua Loyamuna, never mind this Biadua, there's no such thing as automatically because it has two kissim, it has two beitzim. Rather, in the Mishnah, but also Rabbi Akiva is coming in the Mishnah, Biadua Loyamuna, never mind this Biadua, Ela Moshiva ala Chuzer Mamaich, you have to make the animal sit on its rump and start squeezing, Imyesh Beitza, so if it lost it, and if there's a Beitza there, then eventually it will come. And so far we have three opinions, and then we have also Rabbi Yechim Menuria's opinion in the Mishnah, which we're going to deal with now, and then we'll talk about what the halacha is. So we said, one time it happened, they squeezed it and nothing came out, and then when they shechted, they found the second beitza stuck to the inside wall of the end.
The reverse.
That what?
So they squeezed and nothing came out.
No, that's what we said right over here, is they squeezed and nothing came out. If they squeeze and something comes out, then obviously there you go, there's the second beitza. So, Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi gives us a little more...
They found it when they shechted the animal,
in this case. Yeah. So Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yossi, Mais de Piron shall Beis Menachem. It happened in Piron, which Rashi says is the name of the village, of Beis Menachem. I guess it means the village belongs to Beis Menachem, or Beis Menachem lives there, whatever. Anyway, Tosfos brings from Tosefta that's supposed to be the Poro shall Beis Menachem with a cow. Anyway, whatever it is. So they did this, they found only one beta, so they started squeezing, and nothing came out. They shechted it, it turned out that the second beta was attached to the flank of the animal. The hitzir of Akiva, also Rabbi Yechon Manuri, so Rabbi Akiva said that it's mutter because it didn't come out. Rabbi Yechon Manuri said it's also. What do you mean you're asking it? How long are you going to go wasting money of the Jewish people? This animal is perfectly mutter. Meaning it's a mum, yeah. Omele Rabbi Yechon Manuri le Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yechon Manuri answers Rabbi Akiva, Ad Mosse Atem Achal Yisrael, Nevelis. How long are you going to be feeding the Jewish people, Nevelis? And what do you mean, Nevelis? La Mishchat Shachtei. What do you mean, it's not a Nevelis, you shechted it. Ela Tresis. Okay, not Nevelis, but Tresis. What do you mean, Loi Yisrael Tresis? There's no Tresis involved over here. Ela, no. What he meant to say is, Ad Mosse Atem Achal Yisrael, Kodshim Achal. How long are you going to be feeding the Jewish people, Kodshim, that was shechted outside the Beis Mikdash? In other words, according to Rabbi Yechon Manuri, this is not a mum. So you have four opinions. Because it is, because we're talking about a bechor over here. And if you shecht it when it doesn't have a mum, you're shechting kodshim b'chutz. So Rabbi Yechon Manuri is saying, fine, the guy didn't do anything wrong because he didn't know, but you first can't be matir because it's kodshim b'chutz. It has to be buried. So you have four opinions over here. So you have four opinions. Again, according to the Tanakhama, what we're saying is if you have two kisim and only one beitza, you don't even have to do anything. You don't have to squeeze, you don't have to nothing. Automatically, it's considered a mum.
Okay.
No, automatically it's a mum. Therefore, automatically it's a mum. If you see from the outside that it only has one beta, if it has two kissim, that's the point. The Tanakhama is saying, the way we understood it in the Gemara, that even if it has two kissim, if you see only one beta, automatic mum. Then you have Rabbi Shmuel saying no. It depends if it has two kisim, then it's definitely not a mum. Always it means it has two beitzim, whether one of them is visible or not. Rabbi Akiva saying that if you have only two, if you have only one kiss, obviously it's a mum, because it means there's only one beis there. But if you, or even if you have both of them in there, it's still going to be a mum. But Rabbi Akiva saying if you only have two kiss in, if you have two kiss in, but you only see one beis there, it's not enough to say like Tanakama automatically it's a mum and we can shecht it. You have to do the miuch first and see if it comes out. And then you have Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's opinion that even you did the miuch and nothing came out, if you find it afterward, then it's still not a mum. So who is the halacha like? So the Rambam passes like Rabbi Akiva that you have to do the miuch, and if nothing comes out after the miuch, then you can consider it. And then you can consider it a mum. I guess because he says halacha Rabbi Akiva mechaveiroi. Okay, it's because over here you have the chachamim and the Mishnah, but it doesn't specifically say the chachamim. So maybe the Rambam holds, therefore, that we hold like Rabbi Akiva. The Ramban and the Rosh and a number of other Rishonim hold like the Tanakhama. That you don't even need to do anything at all. You only see one beta, automatic mum, you can automatically shecht it. Practically speaking, again, this is a subject of, well, it's not really Ashkenaz and Sardim. I mean, according to the Rambam that you would have to squeeze it, the Rambam doesn't list this as one of the mumim of Hakim that we can shecht for nowadays anyway. According to him, you only have a list of three mumim of Hakim that you can shecht that Shloish Bnei Knesset can be master. It's only according to the Tur that you have other lists of things. And yeah, the Tur passed them according to the Rosh, which is like the Tanakhama, that if you only see one base, then it's a mumim. So you can have people who hold like the Tur, which the Ramah says, fine, you can hold like the Tur if you want, then make a rule. But Ramah mentions that if you want to be Makel like the Tur, then you can go ahead and do that. Yeah, because the Turim lists many other things, including a number of the ones from our Perek that are considered a mum molach, whereas the Rambam lists only three, and the Mechaber adds one more.
So the two say it's
a mum? So it's a mum, but it's not necessarily a mum molach, as we were discussing yesterday. So according to the Tur, it would be a mum molach, and Shlosh Bnei Knesset could shecht on it. According to the Rambam and according to the Mechaber, no, it's not a mum molach. Therefore, it's a mum, but it's not a mum molach, therefore you need a mumcha and mumcha, and we don't have mumcha. Okay, fine. Mishnah says, Baal Chomish Raglayim, another case is if the animal has five legs, Oisha Emael Sholosh, or if it only has three legs, those are Mumim. Another one is Vashiraglov Shu Kotis Kishochamur. Another one is if the hooves of the animal are joined together, like the hooves of a donkey. A donkey doesn't have split hooves, the kosher animal does. Raglov would mean its feet, would mean the hooves on the ends of its feet. A clotus means that they're joined together. That means the hooves are joined together. The two hooves are joined together. Keshal chamur, and they look like a donkey's hoof. Vashochol vahakosel. Two more mumim are shochol and kosel, and the mission defines them. Ezer shochol shenishmet al yurechai. That would be where it's dislocated. It's hit. Now Rashi points out we learned in Cholin that if the animal's hip bone is dislocated, and not the hip bone actually, but the upper bone, the thigh bone rather, yeah, if the thigh bone is dislocated, if the nive, if the ligaments that hold it in place in the socket of the hip bone are decayed, then the animal is tricked. So here we would have to be talking about that. That didn't happen. The bone is dislocated, but the ligaments are still intact. No, well, right, that's the point. It's not going to grow back. No, the thigh bone means, in other words, the pelvis. The hip bone is the pelvis. The thigh bone is the thigh bone. What we mean is that the thigh bone, the upper bone of the leg, is dislocated from its socket in the hip bone. Right. But normally it's in that socket, and you have ligaments connecting them together. So if those ligaments are decayed, then we learn to hold in the animal's treifa. Anyway, here we're not talking about treifas, we're talking about mumim. So here, Rashi says we'd have to be talking about that the ligaments are not decayed, just the thigh being dislocated by itself is enough to make it a mum.
One of them is dislocated.
Fine. Now, the point is, right? The point is, in other words, that the hip bone is still where it's supposed to be, and the thigh bone is moved from it. Okay, Tosfos disagrees with that, because after all, you have an opinion there in Cholin that even if the ligaments are not decayed, then the animal is still chafed. So Tosfos says, okay, we don't mean over here shenishmata, that it got dislocated at some point during the animal's life. We mean that it was born dislocated. And so that's shochel. And what's kossel? What's kossel? Sha'achas mirechayim gvoyas. That one of its hips is higher than the other. Meaning, Rashi says again that usually you have the hip bone is usually attached to the tail. It's usually attached to like the next to the flanks, not above them. So now in this case, you have one side of it is instead of being between the flanks of the animal is above it. It is born because it's located or because it was born that way or whatever. Either way. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabuna, lo shonu ala shachaser v'yeter v'yad." This is that we're talking about in the Mishnah, where it has three legs, or it has five legs, is where it has three, where it has an extra front leg. That would be a mum, but it wouldn't make a tref. Avol b'regel tref nami avi. But if such a thing happens with one of the back legs, then forget about a mum. Then the animal is actually tref, because, like we said before, the kol yoter k'nasel dami, because anything that's extra is as if it was removed. And since you have many places on the back legs, as we learned in Kulin, there are many places in the back leg where if the leg is cut off over there, then the animal is chased. For example, by the tzemes hagidin above it, because by the yad, though that chases don't apply to that. But that doesn't matter, because even if the animal is missing its yad as a whole, that doesn't make a chase. But if it's missing its regel, if it's missing its hind legs at certain places, in certain places, then it's going to be chased. One of them being, again, with a case where the thigh was dislocated, another one where it was cut off minhar kubo lamaila above a certain joint of the leg. You have a few different places. So, we learned in Chulin, actually, that if you have, let's say, for example, all the way down, like near the hoof, if you have extra toes and a hoof growing there, fine, that won't make the animal trace. But in most other places, below the ankle joint, right. But above that, almost anywhere, if the leg is cut off, it'll be traced. So by the same token, if you have an extra leg there, it'll also be traced. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, we mentioned that if the hooves of the animal are kolot, are rounded, like the hooves of, not rounded, klutos means connected together, like the hooves of a donkey. So, Amar Papa, loy tema da agilon v'loy sidikon, don't think it means that it literally has to be like the hoof of a donkey, which is round and not split, where it's round like a circle. No, it's considered a mum, even if it's only rounded, but it is also split. In other words, the hooves of a kosher animal, for example, these are the hooves of a cow looking from underneath. So they're kind of oval. I found a picture on the internet. So they're kind of oval in shape. So that's the normal shape. On the other hand, the hoof of a donkey is not only not split, but it's rounded in front. So therefore, so the Papa is saying that when the Mishnah is saying that the hooves of the animal are like a donkey, then it's considered a mum. We don't mean that it has to be exactly like a donkey's, rounded in front and not split. As long as it's rounded in front, even if it's split, that would be considered a mum. Then we said Vashokol Vakosol Kola. We said in the Mishnah, Shokol or Kosol are also a Bamum. Tanan Abanan, Ezeo Kosol Ve Ezeo Shokol. Let's define them like we did in the Mishnah. Shokol Shanishin Ve Yerechai. Shokol would mean where the thigh is dislocated. Again, according to Rashi, as long as the ligaments are not decayed. According to Tosfos, it would have to mean that it was born that way. Kosol shiragla echad b'secha kesol, viragla echad agabe kesol, and it's called kosol, where you have one leg is within the kesol, within the flank, and the other side of the hip is above the kesol, above the flank, rather than between them as it should be. Okay, Tana, we learn in a braisa. Another one, hasarua v'akolot. We have also the sarua and the kolot. Sarua means shenishtar b'vlo yerechai, means that its thigh is elongated, which means Rashi describes that it means that one of its thighs is bigger than the other one, longer than the other one. So in other words, they're in their proper places, it's seated in the socket, the hip bone itself is where it should be or whatever, but one of the legs is longer than the other, that's called sarua. And the other one, kolot, is shiragra. So it's not a dislocation, you have the same thing you can have, in other words, that one leg of it is longer than the other. So therefore, it was born that way. Not the socket. Everything is in its socket, but you have one thigh bone. You measure them. You find one, the thigh bone on one side is 30 inches long, and the one on the other side is 32 inches long. Same way as a human being. Sometimes you have... Yeah, sometimes you have. A person has their hips are a little out of alignment, but sometimes you can have the hip itself is in alignment, but the legs, you have one leg longer than the other, it can also happen. So that would be a mum. And kolot, and what would be, and kolot is also a mum, is, as we said in the Mishnah, shiragos kolot kashal hamar kashal sus, that its hooves are rounded or joined together like the ones of a donkey or like the ones of a horse. So that was, so all those are considered mum. Okay. Yeah, well, you know, there's not much to discuss on each one of them.